All right, we are going to move on to item five, which is presentation from PARS, Public Agency Retirement Services, regarding the IRC Section 115 Trust for the OPEB benefits for Sisera. Good morning.
Morning.
You can anticipate all the questions now because you get to hear all of it.
Perfect. So good morning, everybody. Chairman Gordon and members of the board, thank you for having us out here today. Today we are here today to provide you all with an update of the OPEB trust that was mentioned in the previous item. So just jumping ahead here, this page gives you a look at the team members that works on the Sisera's particular trust at PARS as well as PFM Asset Management. My name is Angela Tang. I am the supervisor of our client services department at PARS. Joining me here today is Andrew Brown from PFM Asset Management. And today we will go ahead and give you a review of your plan through December 31st of 2024. The next page here gives you a look at the three companies that works on the trust on behalf of Sisera. Up top is PARS. We are the trust administrator and consultant on the trust. So we serve as your main point of contact regarding anything pertaining to your OPEB trust. Any questions you might have, go ahead and direct it to myself and Jennifer, and we'll be happy to point you in the right direction or get you the answers to those questions. We also monitor all contributions coming into the trust, as well as disbursements or withdrawals leaving the trust. So two things that we don't do at PARS is that we don't hold the money, nor do we invest the money. So for those two responsibilities, we do rely on our partners listed down below there. On the left-hand side is U.S. Bank, our trustee. So they are ultimately the ones that hold the money, and they are in charge of safeguarding the plan assets within the trust. Ultimately, whenever contributions are being sent in, they go to U.S. Bank. Similarly, whenever a request for distributions to be taken out from the trust, those will also come from U.S. Bank.
So U.S. Bank directs PFM?
So we take direction from Sisera, and then PFM is a branch of U.S. Bank currently, and they are ultimately the ones to invest the funds and do the heavy lifting based off of the direction from you all here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
No problem. Jumping ahead, the next couple of pages, we did want to provide you with a summary of the plan. As mentioned, this trust was put into place back in December 1st of 2018. Chief Executive Officer Christina Dunn is currently the plan administrator, and the current investment strategy is a custom strategy, which Andrew will go into more details later on. The second half of this page does give us information on the account through December 31st of 2020. But just as a quick reminder, the first contribution that we did receive was back in December of 2018 in the amount of $2.5 million. As of December 31st, we have received a total of $4.6 million in contribution. Disbursements, we are withdrawals from the trust. We've seen it totaling at about $614,000 or so. Total investment earnings as of the end of 2024 comes out to be about a little under $1.7 million. Expenses and fee comes out to $158,000 or so, putting us at the ending balance for December 31st, 2024 of $5.5 million. Next page, we did want to provide you with an overview of activity pertaining specifically to calendar year 2024. So you can see the movement of the assets for that particular year time frame. One thing that you might notice is that the 5.5 asset account that we have reported here is about a $100,000 difference from what we saw on the actuary report of about $5.4 million. So staff did provide us with some account reconciliation information to shore up those figures there. So you do see how the actuaries have that 5.4 on their reporting. The next two pages, I won't spend too much time on it. This is just highlights of the most recent actuary report put together by Milliman, which we have reviewed earlier today. So again, won't spend too much time on that. A few things that I will highlight, and just as a quick reminder before I pass it off to Andrew, are the retirees increase from 7 to 16. We are at 66 actives and a total of 82 plan members. On the next page, a few things that I did want to highlight again prior to giving it over to Andrew. Discount rate remains at 6.5%, and as noted, the current funded ratio is sitting at about 86.2% there. All right. With that being said, I'll go ahead and pass it off to Andrew, and he'll go into more information on the investments here for you.
Good morning, Retirement Board. My name is Andrew Brown, Portfolio Manager with PFM Asset Management. Thank you very much for the invitation to come back and provide our annual update to you for the OPEB plan. Similar to, I guess, the past 5 or 6 years, I'll give you our best thoughts, guesses on the economic developments going forward. I know you, being a retirement board, you get a lot of these updates, so I'll be brief in my comments there. And then we'll touch on some of the performance for the calendar year in 2024. Last year when I was here, I presented this heat map to you. It sort of, in a nice, easy format, applies 9 economic market-related variables. And we provide, using a color-coded format, some type of rating metric on our views on a go-forward basis on those variables. Black dot and green region would be a favorable outlook, yellow neutral, red, orange would be some type of varying degree of maybe a negative view. I will offer this caveat that this exhibit was created in the first week of January. We review and possibly revise on a quarterly basis this exhibit. And the last published one is probably from January 8th or 9th, and now we're in April. So, all right, that's 3 months ago, and you could say, well, I see at the top of the page it has a 6 to 12-month horizon, so certainly 3 months is within that 6 to 12-month region, and I would nod my head in agreement to that statement. But there's a lot of stuff going on, obviously, out there. You know, if we were to go back in time 3 months ago, I think that the narrative that we would put forth would be a soft landing for the economy. Soft landing defined by, maybe 2, possibly 2.5% growth on a GDP basis. And frankly speaking, I don't know if we are ready to ditch that forecast. Right. And so my fingerprints aren't on the development of this exhibit. But when I kind of think about it, with my own thoughts, I am here first week in April. I think the only thing, at least today, well, before 1 o'clock this afternoon, the only thing that probably would change would be maybe at 12 o'clock. Right. Yeah, because he likes to kind of go a little longer. Yeah, there you go. It might be economic growth. Maybe it goes from green to yellow, possibly orange. Right? I mean, you start in the middle of consumer spending. I know the first quarter retail sales were kind of choppy. I mean, January was awful, but people chalked it up to bad weather and maybe some natural catastrophes. February was solid. I know consumer confidence is in the doldrums, but consumer confidence is in the doldrums probably due to A, outcome of the elections, and B, just the unknown and uncertainty of tariffs and higher prices, right? Much of what supports consumer spending is labor markets, and at labor markets there at 3 o'clock on this exhibit, 4.1% unemployment, initial claims, continuing claims, not so bad, at least not so worrisome yet. There's hope to keep labor markets supporting the consumer. What did change 3 months ago, and you'll see it at 2 o'clock and 10 o'clock on this exhibit, inflation and monetary policy. Fact of the matter is, inflation has been sticky over the last 4 or 5 months. Elevated prices, whether you're looking at CPI or PCE, you're at the high 2%, low 3% level, and it's kind of trending away gradually from that 2% target that the Fed has maintained. Because of that, or targeting, I should say. And because of that, up at 10 o'clock, monetary policy, you know, if you go back to September, October, the market was thinking we're going to be getting four Fed cuts in 2025 and maybe two in 2026. That's been ratcheted down considerably, and hence we moved it from green to yellow on this exhibit. But just finishing out the far left-hand column here, financial conditions, corporate fundamentals, you do try to maintain a positive view about what could possibly go right. Corporate spreads are tight. Corporations have billions of dollars on their balance sheets. Taxes don't appear to be going up, and possibly you could get, well, you're going to get it probably an extension of the Tax Cut and Job Act from Trump's 2018 legislation, and maybe they go down a little bit. And okay, I say this with a little bit of tongue-in-cheek. Deregulation certainly looks like it's going to come down the pike, and if it doesn't come down the pike, then there might be fewer government employees to regulate. So that might have a little bit of a tailwind for corporate America. So it's not all doom and gloom and dire forecasts, but then you get to the bottom right-hand corner of this, and like I said, I don't have my fingerprints on this exhibit, but political risks, we have the black dot in the red region, and I guess we could make that red background more red, or we can make the circumference of the black dot bigger. But it's the biggest unknown here. And the outcome of tariffs, and we haven't even talked about immigration, but certainly, you could create a narrative that if immigration policies explore a great deportation of 2-4 million residents, that's going to impact every other 8 tiles that we have on here and other metrics here in the economy. So I hate to say uncertainty. I hate to say wait and see. But there is that strong element to the forecast that we do have to kind of wait and see what comes. And as soon as 1 or 2:30 today, we might get some additional color or not. Any questions on that? I tried to keep it brief, but happy to answer anything.
Not hearing any.
Okay. So how does that dovetail and map over into our asset allocation? So this is our asset allocation targets, once again, as of the end of December. And really, throughout the entirety of 2024, we didn't have much in the way of large tilts one way or the other in terms of our equity and fixed income allocations. The one, I guess, that maybe the most notable tilt that we had in the portfolio was put on there maybe in July of 2024, and that would be in the middle of the page where we went to an underweight in emerging markets, and conversely, we had a modest overweight to listed real estate at the bottom of this exhibit. That tilt was carried on until maybe the third week in January of this year, where we went back to a neutral allocation. For the entirety of 2024, we were focused on that 62% equity target allocation by policy and 38% with respect to fixed income positioning for the plan. Let's get into performance for 2024. The top row, I'll set the exhibit up. The first line item is portfolio, total portfolio, and this is going to be gross of investment fees. Going from left to right, market value, percentage of allocation of the investment, and then you have time periods. The one quarter is not first quarter. It's going to be the fourth quarter of the calendar year, so it's going to be October 1 to December 31. And then you have year-to-date 1, 3, 5, 7, 10 year, and then inception-to-date periods for the column headers. 2024, focusing on the annual review, gross of investment fee, a little bit ahead of the benchmark, 8.9% versus 8.69%. Net of investment fee, and later on in the presentation we have the net number, 8.58. So we had a little bit of a lag relative to the benchmark net of investment fee.
Yeah, I can tell you without a doubt that our custom here is to want to know the net of fees performance. The gross of fees is interesting, but what ultimately matters is what the net of fees
results
are.
We do have that.
I would focus on that because I think that's the real story, right? That's what we paid for the performance. So
you bet. A couple of highlights that I'll note on this exhibit, and the first one I offer a little bit bashfully to a retirement board. The small cap investment, the small cap Vanguard ETF index fund, 14.2% for the calendar year versus the Russell 2000 of 11.5%. And then the second one in the bashful category would be the Vanguard FTSE Emerging Market ETF index fund, 11% versus the 7.5% for the MSCI EM index target. No, we've not. These index funds are not actively managed, so you would not expect over the long term outperformance versus the underlying benchmark. It's maybe more of the Vanguard fund, the underlying target benchmark for the Vanguard fund doesn't map into our MSCI Emerging Market or the Russell 2000 underlying benchmark. Over time, we would expect maybe a more closer congruence in terms of returns. So I offer that obviously bashfully because we're not trying to necessarily outperform here. Why are we in the Vanguard funds? Because it's a 5 basis point charge for the small cap and a 7 basis point embedded expense for the emerging market. Maybe a little bit more impactful was the in the middle of the page, the iShares Global Infrastructure ETF. As PFM sort of encompasses now legacy Highmark, my firm, and also U.S. bank institutional managers, one of the things that we're looking at and embracing as a firm is global infrastructure. And so we added in May of last year a modest 2% allocation to infrastructure-related investments through an ETF here. And inception to date, 6.7% from June 1st. So it was additive to plan performance. We have not yet built that into the IPS. In sitting down with staff last week, I broached the topic with staff in terms of as we revise the IPS, and I anticipate we would over the next couple of quarters because we're still technically working under a Highmark branded IPS. So as we move officially on the IPS front from Highmark to PFM, I believe that we will be promoting to CC Sarah the adoption of infrastructure. Right now it's a 2% allocation. And then I guess maybe the last point I would highlight here on this page would be intermediate term fixed income, which is really the only category where we adopt maybe active management in the form of the PGIM Intermediate Fund, as well as Dodge & Cox, strong outperformance for the calendar year 2024 from both managers there. Those were the main points that I wanted to highlight in terms of performance. Questions?
Any questions?
I know you've seen this the presentation ahead of time. I'm going to quickly just go through the remaining exhibits. We have a calendar year historical run record of performance here for the plan. You can see that. We perform an account reconciliation here on a dollar basis, how it's transitioned over the calendar year 2024. Your blended benchmark currently, which has stayed in place since 2019, and as I said, if we do revise it, we'll recognize that here on this page. And then finally, Chair Gordon, the net performance here.
Yeah, I think my comment is that with respect to the prior slides, is that in looking at the various investments and their performance against benchmarks, we would prefer all of those be net of fees. I mean, it's fine to include the gross of fees. I'm not suggesting not to include them, but I think that where the rubber meets the road is net of fees. And so for us, that's the more meaningful analysis and the looking quarter over quarter and year over year, that's what's going to matter.
And then if those benchmarks are investable, if you were to invest in those benchmarks, would those be net of fees also, the numbers that are shown? So net of fees from that last slide you showed us, what we achieved was a little bit less than the benchmark. No. Just the second to the last slide.
The underlying line items would be net. So if you look at the it's a shaded line item of any one of those underlying investments, that would be a net number.
Okay, so when you look at on here Our total portfolio in 2024 was 8.9 versus the benchmark of 8.69. So that looks very encouraging. At your second to the last slide showed what it was net of fees for our portfolio, and then it came down to what I think 10 basis points less than.
Right, and so that 8.58 net number factors in our quarterly hard dollar invoice that we would submit to the association. So on up to $5 million, it's 35 basis points. That's our investment fee.
Okay.
So
right.
So that 30 some odd basis point net number, that's where that fee is
makes
deducted
sense.
From. But the line items would be net of those embedded expenses at the fund levels.
Okay, so if we had invested in the actual benchmark, the net of fees would be less than what we're seeing on the screen here. So because of your fee, we're paying you to manage the funds for us.
Unless
I heard you wrong.
I think it's fair to compare any of the shaded line items with the underlying benchmarks on this page. And then as an overlay, hey, how are you guys doing with your asset allocation? Hey, how are you guys doing with your investor selection?
Right.
For calendar year 2024, well, we did well, but we still underperformed by 11 basis points. Maybe that's how I would characterize. Well, I'll let you characterize my performance, but if I was to step outside of being a PFM manager, that's how I would offer it up. We lag by 11 basis points, and we'll look to do better this year.
Okay.
We have to keep up with healthcare costs, as you heard from the
prior presentation.
Well,
that's 10% annualizer for two. Yeah. Ouch.
So what have you done for me lately, world? It's tough, man. The healthcare premiums keep going up. The costs keep going up, so we have to perform. So any other questions? Not hearing any. Thank you.
Okay, thank you all.